The focus is jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. A look at the broader economy as stocks get to trading for the day. We're about 20 minutes in. Labor's employment report, a new benchmark. We pick at some of the numbers to find context. Other numbers we're looking at? Yeah, where's Wall Street? Markets are actually up. Stateside, the S&P up about 0.25%. Same for the NASDAQ. And the Dow pretty much flat, up about 7 points at 10,013. Shares in Europe, though, are lower. They've swung now to the down mode. And Asian stocks closed higher across the board today. We got word this morning from the government. Unemployment nudged past that 10% mark. 10.2% for October. The highest level since April 1983. And 190,000 jobs lost for the month. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is with us live. And he's had a few minutes to dig through these numbers. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Steve.
And Julie Neiman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live this morning from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
Julie, I want to start with you. That 10.2% is higher than expected. We talked earlier this morning about the ways that make this number unofficially even higher when you consider discouraged workers, those who have been given up. Why is this number worse than expected?
Well, probably the big thing is part-timers are a lot of the workforce right now, too. When you tally everybody in, it's about 17.5%, and that's what's climbing, that big figure here. And the trend you have to take a look at, too, it's 22 consecutive months that we have had job losses. And that's a record. That goes all the way back to 1948. So this is even worse than the 80-82 recession.
Hey, Mitchell, what do these figures tell us about how the jobs part of the economy is doing?
Well, the trend is that we're losing fewer jobs each month. I mean, remember, we were losing 750,000 back in January. But the jobs that we're still losing are not good jobs to lose if the economy is going to recover and if consumers are going to start feeling better. I mean, 61,000 manufacturing jobs, 62,000 construction jobs, jobs lost in retail, financial companies, hotels, restaurants. There's one little hopeful sign in here, 34,000 more temporary workers hired. That may be the precursor to companies hiring more permanent workers eventually. Still, the length of the average work week didn't budge. And that's also got to go up so that employees kind of get maxed out and then employers finally go out and hire more people. I asked Nigel Galt for his take. He's the chief economist at IHS Global Insight.
These numbers are telling us that it's still a long slog before we actually get back to positive payroll numbers.
What would you guess?
Around March or April next year.
And he says until then we just keep losing jobs, although fewer and fewer as the months go by. And that 10.2% unemployment rate, get used to it, maybe 10.5% by mid-2010 before it's all over.
Julie Neiman, anything that can be done about that to create jobs quicker? I mean, get people off those unemployment rolls?
Unfortunately, can't. And the market is really expecting that less bad is good news. That's total nonsense here because you can't get sustained expansion until you stop losing jobs. You have to gain jobs, and that's not in evidence yet.
All right. Julie Neiman from Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Julie, thanks.
You bet.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman live from Portland. Thank you, Mitchell.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Another price war between Walmart and rivals who sell DVDs. As the holiday season gets underway, the giant retailer's trimming the online pre-order prices of some upcoming flicks following last month's price cut on books. Amazon.com and Target reduced the prices of some of their online pre-order DVDs, which pushed Walmart to take a few more cents off of its earnings. Listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, November 6, 2009 at marketplace.org. Well, not long ago, the demand for natural gas outstripped supply, but the recession took care of that. Next week, the International Energy Agency releases its World Energy Outlook, and a rush of natural gas is on the agenda. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
In the U.S. and Northern Europe, the law of supply and demand rules. A gas surplus means producers get lower prices. Nikos Safos is a senior analyst with PFC Energy. He says for buyers, it's another matter.
People that use gas for power or for industry, if they can access competitive gas, they are winners. and especially they're winners if they can use this natural gas in order to replace oil.
Because it's cheaper than oil to begin with. But not all producers lose out when there's a glut of gas. He says in Asia and continental Europe, the price of natural gas is linked to the price of oil, trailing it slightly.
So given the fact that you had a rebound in oil prices in 2009, that has actually also brought up gas prices.
Safos says look ahead 10 years or so and there's likely to be a supply squeeze. By then, he says, gas will be in high demand as a cleaner alternative in the transition to renewable energy. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The House could vote this weekend on its version of a healthcare overhaul. But Congress being Congress, well, the reform plans just aren't about health care. They contain a few goodies aimed at helping other constituencies, too, as reporter Joel Rose explains.
This week, lawmakers quietly tacked an amendment onto the health care overhaul bill. It's supposed to prevent the paper industry from taking advantage of a $24 billion loophole in a tax incentive program aimed at helping alternative fuels. The $1.2 trillion House bill contains funding for lots of projects, including some with only a tenuous connection to health care. Dave Leventhal is with the Center for Responsive Politics.
As this legislation has coursed through Congress, there have been hundreds of millions of dollars worth of various items that have been proposed, everything from streetlights to farmers markets and walking paths and various other things that only tangentially may be related to health in some people's opinions.
Supporters say walking paths and farmers markets are related to health because they help prevent obesity and disease. Even if the House votes on its bill this weekend, there's still time to add more amendments. It could be weeks before the Senate votes on its version of the health care bill. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Yeah, the real estate market here at home is pretty much still in the tank, but the story is completely different north of the border. Home sales in Canada are soaring. And prices have reached an all-time high. Reporter Anita Elash has more from Toronto.
Toronto's real estate market is so hot these days that buyers are lining up to get in.
Hello. Hello.
When this real estate agent arrived for an open house to show off a three-bedroom duplex, there were already six people waiting in line. Sisters Rita and Anna Iozzo are willing to spend up to $500,000. Rita says they've been searching for 2 months and still can't find a house they can afford.
We think it's a pretty good chunk of money, and even things in our price range look like fixer-uppers.
Economists say Canada's housing market was never in as much trouble as the U.S. That's because Canada has a conservative banking system. You need a much bigger down payment and higher income to buy a house here, so there weren't a lot of defaults during the recession. But one thing that did happen in Canada during the recession is that mortgage rates dropped to historic lows. They're currently between 2% and 4.5%, and that has potential home buyers lining up. Stéphane Marion is a real estate analyst with the National Bank.
So these are the best conditions in over 30 years for Canadian households that desire to buy a home.
But those falling interest rates are driving up prices. Adam Brown is a real estate agent who was waiting at that downtown Toronto duplex. He says bidding wars are the new normal, and he expects this house will sell way above the asking price of $489.
It's a seller's market, and sometimes sellers are getting greedy in this market.
Economist Stéphane Marion says there's one big risk in all this, that Canadians will buy themselves into a real estate bubble. But he says Canada's economy is showing signs of growth, so he and others expect the Bank of Canada to raise its benchmark interest rate before real estate prices get out of hand. In Toronto, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
British Airways said today it had the worst first half in the airline's history and lost nearly $500 million. Now, British Airways plans to cut 3,000 more jobs in the coming months. Also in the UK, finance ministers from the Group of 20 nations are meeting in Scotland today. They're going to review the state of the global economy, and as Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard reports, they're worried about a new threat from an old enemy.
The trillions of dollars pumped into the global economy seem to have staved off a second Great Depression. But now G20 finance ministers are fretting about another problem, the danger of asset bubbles. All the cash sloshing around the system has fueled a surge in the price of financial assets. Stock values worldwide have doubled since March. Gold has hit a record high. In Britain, which is still officially in recession, house prices are rising. Graham Mather is with the European Policy Forum. He says G20 finance ministers are keenly aware it was asset bubbles that got us into this mess.
Last time they missed that happening. This time they are determined not to let that go past without taking action.
But there are still serious doubts whether bubbles can be correctly identified and deflated without pushing economies back into a slump. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
American International Group, the insurer bailed out by the U.S. government, posted its second straight quarterly profit today, helped by recovery in the value of its investments. Net profit about $500 million, or 68 cents a share, compared with a loss of $24 billion in the year earlier quarter. The results included about $2 billion in special gains. Finally, as if you weren't busy enough with your iPhone looking up sports scores or Shazamming the latest song, here's something else you can accomplish. For about 10 bucks, you too can translate what your baby is trying to tell you through his or her cries. According to its creators, the Cry Translator has a 90% accuracy rate using patented technology to decode 5 possible emotions. That's a stressed cry. It has a strong, short sound. Hunger. High-pitched and full of energy. That means, hey, Greek guy, wrap this up. I'm tired. Yeah, me too. Point taken. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.